Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about fantasies, the most common ones we all have and what makes them so hot. Plus, I'm taking your calls. Topics include, you love your partner, but are dangerously close to crossing the infidelity line. How do you pull back? You think your husband has the Madonna whore complex, but it's actually a lot deeper than that. And underwear, opening up about your love for wearing thongs when your wife buys you boxers. All this and more. Thanks for listening. So you all know that everyone here at Sex with Emily loves the womanizer, but no one more than producer Jamie.
It's kind of an obsession.
You think? I mean, you sleep with it under your pillow.
Yeah. I mean, is that bad?
No, it's awesome. I mean, Jamie, you know this. Some might say we have the best jobs in the world because we get to take all the new models home. We try them out. We review them. And not so long ago, we did bring home the Womanizer Premium. Which somehow, I don't know how they do it, they change the game again.
I know. Every time, I think there's no way that it can get better. And it does. And the Premium is basically everything I love about the Womanizer already. But it's got a bunch of amazing new technology and it just makes it so much better.
Right. Okay, hang on. Let's pick our favorite new feature. I mean, it uses the same Pleasure Air technology to indirectly stimulate the clitoris with those pulses of air pressure. Love them. It does. It feels like the best oral sex of your life. But there's no actual licking.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good. And it has that little round silicone cylinder that goes over your clitoris. And those air pulses are exactly what I need. But I'd have to say my new favorite feature is probably the smart silence.
Exactly. The smart silence is the best. You guys, here's the smart silence. It keeps the womanizer silent until you touch it to your skin. So it's discreet and roommates don't hear it.
I know, and I have so many
roommates.
Jamie
has like 18 roommates that are all dudes, right? I mean, it's amazing. So, I don't know. I have to pick something different. I'm going to say that the thing I love besides the smart silent is the entire toy is all body safe silicone. And it just, it's like luxurious to hold.
I know, it's really nice. I really like it.
Okay, Jamie, thanks for sharing my obsession for the Womanizer.
Of course.
If any of you haven't tried the Womanizer yet, now's the time. To see all of them, just go to sexwithemily.com/womanizer. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/womanizer.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check us out everywhere you listen to podcasts. We love when you subscribe to the podcast. That makes our life and your life a lot easier. Got a lot of great posts on the website, sexwithemily.com. And you can also listen to me on SiriusXM Radio 5 days a week on Starz Channel 109. I'm there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. And if you want to get a free trial, go to sexwithemily.com/SXM, or you can just call in 5 days a week. I'm there, 888-947-8277. Also find us across the board, all social media, at Sex with Emily. You'll be happy you did. Enjoy the show. I've been thinking a lot about fantasies and how they play into our sex life, because I think just the concept of having sexual fantasies is complicated and confusing, because we all... So first I want to say this, that having sexual fantasies is actually a big part of having a healthy sex life. And a lot of what happens is we'll have a fantasy and we feel guilty about it, or we feel shame and we think that it's actually wrong to have fantasies. But there are actually two types of fantasies. There's the fantasies that you actually want to happen with a partner one day, and the ones that you just like to keep to yourself. Go crazy in your mind. They make you feel good. Those are the two different kinds. All important, though. And I think the confusing thing is that people think there's some kind of dysfunction to it, and that we shouldn't actually have fantasies because it takes away from our own connection to our partner. Mm-hmm. Maybe we think it's cheating. We think that it has to be something kind of out there and wild, but maybe we think we're not so crazy enough because I'm only fantasizing about oral sex, which is actually a top fantasy for women, mm-hmm. to fantasize about oral sex. And in fact, fantasizing about your own partner is really helpful in relationships too. Did you know that? That the more that you actually fantasize, and if you can throw your partner into it every once in a while, you'll find yourself to be more attracted to them. It'll fuel new energy into the relationship. So thinking about your partner in a more sensual way can actually, you know, make you more attracted to them.
So if you, before we get into these other fantasies, like if you are a person that doesn't feel like you have fantasies, how can right. you tap into that?
Okay, so here's the thing about fantasy though. While they're important, some of us just never fantasize. I was a non-fantasizer, non-masturbator, non-orgasmer. Like I think I started the base. I started where a lot of people are and I was like, no, I think it'd be really cool to have fantasies. So I hear this a lot and I'll get to my own story, but and that I'll tell people like fantasy is really healthy, part of a relationship, because our mind, when I tell you that your brain is the largest sex organ, it's because our mind, our what we're thinking about, keeping sex top of mind, or that's the driving force in getting us turned on, like in libido and arousal. And we're often think like something's wrong with us. We're broken because, you know, men get turned on differently than women and we don't know why we're not having an automatic physical response where a guy gets erection. So we need our minds sometimes to get us going there. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, some people just naturally, like they have had fantasies since the beginning of time. I think that Michelle said she fantasized early on. Did you fantasize early? Real quick, what was your...
I dislike porn. I've tried to watch porn multiple times and use that as a way to get off, but I've found that fantasizing about...
What do you fantasize about? That's just what I want to know now.
Okay, sorry. I fantasize about James Franco going down on me when I masturbate. Okay.
So you have a very specific...
Yeah.
Like, that's been your one for a while? Or
that's been my one for a while.
James Franco going down on you when you masturbate.
That's a pretty good fantasy.
That's a pretty good... Like, I almost want to adopt that. So I thought we could talk... No, that's a good one. I think he's hot, too. Here's the thing. Is that oral sex, that's top fantasy for women. Oral sex, sex in public, sex in an unusual location. But for me, I had to realize.
No, you're fine.
Okay, she's pointing up. Oh, we're talking about the sound. Can you all hear me? I'm here. Oh, man.
I know. I gotta, if it's I'm like, looking at you, the gestures are for you. If I'm looking over here, they're for
she's pointing at the ceiling. I'm like, do we have a leak again? It's not raining. It's not raining in here. Okay, so how did I have one? So I realized when it was important, I wasn't really turned on. Sometimes I wasn't turned on until I was with a partner. I was doing all the work I talked to you about trying to get into my body and make more time for masturbation. And I started hearing about this fantasy thing. And I was like, I don't know. I guess I think about women. Like I think about, that was always my go-to. Mm. Like the, what is it? Lesbian fantasy. Same-sex fantasy. Yeah. Very popular. Popular. I think it's funny to think about a popular fantasy. Just saying that, like, I do it too. Lesbian sex. This is popular for women who even identify as straight.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my thing. But then I realized the more I looked at what my core erotic theme was, which is a concept we haven't talked much about on the show, but we all, this is how you find your fantasy. If you have something like a kernel in you that's like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I guess that's something that I think about. Perhaps it's one hot kiss you had with a partner. It could be the best sex you ever had. Maybe you are on a beach somewhere and someone like with a part lover and the wind was blowing and the sun was going down. I've had a few of those. Mm. And I go back to those times and places where I can kind of get into the moment, the senses of what I was feeling. So if you don't have a fantasy, go back to things that even if just one thing or you really like kissing, mm-hmm. and then you can start to create your own story around and build from there. So then when you're like trying, you know, masturbating or thinking about sex, or even if you're not masturbating, but you feel like lately your libido and your drive has been a little lackluster, you can start to think about when have I been turned on? And so, but then some people just think about James Franco and they've got it going. So these are just some ways to kind of fuel that. Call us with anything, your fantasies. I would love to know that. And any of your sex questions, 888-947-8277. What about you, Jamie? Do you fantasize?
I only recently started fantasizing maybe like a year ago when I started when I started watching more porn, it helped kind of get me thinking about things that I like. Because most of the time when I would masturbate, I really just thought about how awesome orgasm feels. And that's what I would do. I would just like muscle memory it. Like, that's what I'm getting to. And that's what would...
Every time since you were masturbating? Since your beginning of masturbation?
Since my masturbatory beginnings. Yes. And then I started fantasizing. And now it's more of kind of a twist on previous sexual encounters that I've had. And then a lot of times too, it's just like a faceless male, really hot body with a cute man, but just
for women, a lot of our fantasies are kind of faceless, nameless.
Yeah,
that's what they say.
It could be James Franco sometimes.
Who knows? It doesn't matter. But I think so then you in on the show, we've talked about it, and so but here's the thing about fantasy too, is that as long as you don't, I feel like there are problems with porn. For example, when you watch porn too much, mm-hmm. for men, for example, we talk about this. It happens with men more than women, where it's harder to have sex when you're constantly, when you only require porn to get off. But these are some scenarios. And also, same thing can happen for women. I guess I'm thinking about connection and body and breath, that it's, when I say your mind can also be the thing that gets you to start thinking about sex or thinking about a fantasy, or just because there is a certain disassociation that can happen with fantasies with a partner. I'm not going to go there now. I'm going to talk to you about the most popular fantasies here that women have. Oral sex is the one that I want to start with, because this is a top fantasy, and you might think that you don't have any fantasies and you've probably thought about receiving oral sex. So if you feel that there's a dearth of fantasies in your brain right now, plant that one and think about it. How does it feel when you receive oral sex from your partner or from anybody? And it's also submissive. I think the reason why, I know men fantasize about oral too. This isn't just women. Because where you don't have to do it, you're lying back. You can be the pillow princess.
I love that. I know.
And it makes you feel like a pampered, like you're like the queen on our throne and we're just being ravaged and someone's cherishing me. I can't wait to like please me. And a lot of us find oral sex really hot.
Yeah, I'm not surprised this is the top fantasy. I don't think I've ever had a fantasy where oral sex was not involved in some way, shape, or form.
I have to pretty much agree with you. This is interesting. The three of us. Mm-hmm. Okay, so do I need to really encourage people more to enjoy oral?
Well, just if you haven't, try it.
Give it a try. See what you like. Sex in an unusual location.
Ooh.
This is a big one, and let me tell you why. The reason why we fantasize about sex in a place, like even if it's in a hotel room, sex club, on the kitchen counter, somewhere out of the ordinary, it's because we are all craving variety. We're all craving something to stimulate our thoughts, to turn us on, that's not the same old, same old. And so when we think of an unusual occasion with someone, it's just, that's already exciting. That's why hotel sex is so great. So I suppose fantasizing about hotel sex does the same thing.
Ooh, infidelity.
Infidelity. So you can be really happy with your partner. You can be in love with your partner and find something really exciting about just the idea of cheating on them.
Ooh.
Maybe it's dangerous. You think you're going to get caught. Maybe you think about having that new sex connection. But keep in mind that if you want, it doesn't mean you necessarily want to have it. But if you do fantasize about having sex with someone else and you are married, healthy. We're not going to judge you for that.
So would you say,
actually doing it.
Would you say that this is a fantasy you keep to yourself?
Yes. Unless you've... No, this is how you... Well, I thought this might lead to the how do you have the conversation about fantasies with your partner question. So you guys can call us with anything at all. 888-947-8277 is that this made me think about the infidelity. Like, we hear a lot of men who are into something called cuckolding, for example, watching their partner have sex with someone else. And for some women, they might have those fantasies too. Like, they might think, I want to swap, or maybe I would someday like to be with someone. So it's really a matter of, I can't tell you whether or not you should, which fantasies you should share, which one you shouldn't, because it's a case by case basis. What's your communication like in your current relationship with your partner? Have you ever talked about fantasies? So the fantasy conversation starts with just like, hey, let's let's talk about some fantasies that you have. Or do you ever fantasize? Tell me what they are. Obviously, you're not going to lead with, I fantasize about cheating on you.
That's true.
I think we have no common sense. But maybe you could say, oh, I have fantasized about, you know, us being somewhere having sex with other people. I don't think you'd lead with that either. You fantasize about...
maybe a threesome.
A threesome is a really great place to start. I think it's really common. Mm-hmm. I think you say you don't want to do it without them, but you've thought it would be hot to see your partner hook up with someone else. That's how that conversation goes down. You don't say it to your girlfriend and say, I'm really looking forward to have a fantasy because without anything, a threesome. I'd love to have a threesome with you and not follow it with like, because I think it'd be hot and I want to see what you think of it. You can't force it on them and then they're automatically going to assume that maybe you just want to be with their best friend.
Oh.
Being dominated, top fantasy.
Definitely.
I mean, you
definitely.
Guys, really, not just because of 50 Shades. There's a lot of fantasy scenarios. Like, you can just picture your partner, like, holding you down, like, you know, with their wrists or bondage or, you know, using some, like, bondage gear. Pain, a little bit of spanking. It's also being submissive, kind of relinquishing control, although the dominant, the submissive has the power in the dominant-submissive relationship. But you might also fantasize about dominating someone else. You might want to be the one in control. I just think fantasies are cool. Like, yeah. I think when we hear from women all the time who are, you know, not getting turned on and not aroused or libidos, start thinking. When I say think sexy thoughts, keep your pilot light lit. This is part of it. Sex with a celebrity. I don't have that. You don't, James, do you?
Sometimes. Charlie Hunnam, we've been over this.
Oh, right.
I'm like... That's like the only actual face I fantasize about. Oh, yeah.
Every time. It hasn't changed. Do you ever have a fantasy that you used to have but you retired it? No, you just started.
No, because I just started. So I haven't cycled through. I don't really go back to the same fantasies. They're usually different scenarios in certain ways. There might be similarities, but I kind of add a new twist.
Right. Nice. Storytelling, you guys. Fantasy is storytelling. It really is. And since we like plots and themes, especially like in female porn, women-friendly porn, it makes sense that you're like telling a story to yourself. Our fantasies, and female fantasy, women's fantasies are a little more elaborate sometimes because, think about it, it's much like sex. We don't just want to, like, I think for men, I hear their fantasies are kind of a mashup. Mm-hmm. They're like, think of this girl and the spank bank, if you will. It's like this, and they ejaculate. But for women... Just like we like foreplay, anticipation, teasing, and buildup, we are telling ourselves the stories in our mind that's leading us towards fantasy.
Do you ever, like, talk your fantasies through with yourself? I talk to myself sometimes during masturbation.
Out loud?
Yeah.
Like, give me an example.
Oh, I don't know about this. I mean, I guess, like, I'll just, like, when I'm in the situation, I will... And it helps me practice my dirty talk during. Like, I just try to, like, talk through, like, oh, my God, that feels so good. Or, like, keep going. Like, hit that spot. Like, you know, I say certain things to myself. And then I think that does help me, at least when I am with a partner, just be able to.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Because I don't like quiet sex. It's, like, my worst.
Do you play music?
No, well, that's the thing. I need the person to be vocal. And right. I like to be vocal. And that's the worst thing for me is when I'm vocal and then the other person isn't. And then I'm just, like.
I can't handle that either.
I can't.
I'm like, are you alive? Are you not? Are you participating? Like, we're doing something active. I don't, yeah. When I believe that it's, let your partner know you're having a good time. It's like if someone cooks you a meal and you just sit there straight face. You're like, did you like it? Did you not like it?
Right.
Are you, like, not hungry? Do you get a stomachache?
Eating food without a word?
Yeah, without a word. It's like sex without a word or moan. You know, again, that's something that we've trained ourselves to sometimes be more quiet, but I'm all for loud, talky, chatty, dirty sex. Not chatty. Yeah. I don't want to talk about the weather, but
everyone I've talked to about it doesn't seem to do that on their own, like when they're by themselves.
No, I've never talked to myself alone. I've talked to myself a lot.
I do too. Not during, yeah.
But it's fine. I talk when I sleep. Apparently, I talk in my sleep.
Oh,
and I do not talk during masturbation. In fact, I talk all the time. That's the one place I'd like not to talk. But it's interesting that you do. And I think that it makes a lot of sense. Move yourself along.
Yeah.
Practice dirty talk. Okay, sex, sensual massage.
Ooh.
Happy ending massages are a popular search term on porn sites, especially for women. These are women. It's the relaxation, slow, calming movements, arousal, like it's the height of arousal. like you're like they're taking away your stress and they're rubbing your body and they're coming at you with God knows what. I'm so excited.
Put so much
trip to Mexico.
Oh my God, can we please your story.
I don't know if I can tell my Mexico story yet, but I am going to Mexico where I have had it wasn't a happy ending because it wasn't during the massage.
You didn't pay for it. That's why.
I didn't pay for it. But there's nothing like a guy who can give you a really good freaking massage. That's all I got to say. And if your partner turns to you and says, what do I fantasize about? Tell him something that turns you on, that makes you feel good, that makes you feel relaxed and calm. And saying, I would love a sensual massage from you, babe. That is a big turn on. Who can argue with that? Or a foot massage?
Mm-hmm.
Or here's the thing I wanted to mention. Romantic sex. A lot of my fantasies are romantic.
Okay. Interesting.
I know. Like, I don't want the rose petals on the bed and all that. I mean, I would take it once. But what I like, I like the connection. I like connected sex. So I like kissing and making out and like touching and staring into others' eyes. Like romantic sex. People think they have to have some kind of crazy BDSM thing. And I'm just like thinking about like a deep, I actually fantasize about deep emotional connection.
Oh, and do you think that that is because you crave that? You really crave that in your regular life.
I crave that everywhere in my life. And I've realized that that's that's kind of like the base. Like it's interesting because, and I've had deep emotional connections with people, but how do I put this? The deeper you go, like I think we all think we're deep until you go deeper.
Yeah.
And then you keep going deeping and deep. There's like a deepness between it's like peeling back the layers of the depth of the onion. And then you peeling back the layers of the onion. And of course, there's been times in my life where maybe it was less deep, but yeah, it keeps getting deeper. And then once you have it, you want more. But maybe some people, not everybody's craving deep emotional, but yes, for me. And I want that with my friends too. Mm. And I think it's harder sometimes to do in romantic relationships because we're so afraid of being hurt, being unlovable, and someone abandoning us and being alone, ultimately. But with our friends, that deep emotional attachment comes a little bit easier because it doesn't seem as risky as it is in romance. But I realize that that's just,
yeah,
you can go everywhere from there. If you have deep emotional connection and trust, then you can go friggin' dirty, crazy, whatever, if you have that basis.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with that with friends. And I think the reason why I don't particularly, none of my fantasies have ever been romantic, because it's just a commitment and romanticism and all of that, like, just is not where my head is at or has ever been at. Mm-hmm. I don't think
yeah,
I've ever found a person to have this with, so I've never experienced it, so I can't even think about it.
That makes sense. Maybe it's exactly. It's now you know. Time. Now you know it's on the menu. See, I didn't know, like, years ago, I wouldn't have known that was on the menu. But now that I've like tasted it here and there in life, I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. That's it. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break and we come back on to your calls. So let me tell you about my first time buying a sex toy. I was 22 years old living in San Francisco and I walked into a local shop called Good Vibrations. It really blew my mind. I mean, I pictured sex toy stores to be these dark, dingy places, but it was so open and well lit. It was like an Apple store for vibrators. So I walk in and one of the workers approached me and she immediately put me at ease. She was like, hi, so let's talk about your orgasms. You would think a stranger asking that would make you nervous, but she immediately made me feel so comfortable and helped me figure out what would be best for me. Thank you, Pocket Rocket. At the time, I wasn't even aware that my life would also become devoted to helping people with orgasms and sex, or that I'd be fortunate enough to work with Good Vibrations later down the line. This is why I am so excited to have you guys get to know them as well, if you don't already. I mean, they do run some of the best and most respected adult boutiques in the country. And now with their online store, you get to have that same shopping experience and expertise without ever leaving your house. Seriously, guys, they just know quality. I mean, if they have it in their store, I trust it. And if they don't, I have to question it a bit more. It's not just me that feels this way. I can't stress enough the standard they set in the industry. And I'm even more excited because now Good Vibrations runs the Shop with Emily page on my website. So be on the lookout for some great sex toys and sexy announcements. To see everything Good Vibrations has to offer, just go to sexwithemily.com/goodvibrations. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/GOODVIBRATIONS. So Jamie, I've been thinking. Mm-hmm. Picking a new toy is kind of like finding a partner. I mean, if you're going to spend that much time together in the bedroom, you gotta know if it's the right one.
That's very true. I never really looked at it like
that. I know. And there's so many to choose from now. Oh my God. The whole like bigger, better deal around the corner. People say that about dates and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, is this person going to be better? But when you narrow it down to the right toys, those are the only ones we talk about here. Because exactly. It matters. I don't want you guys to make a mistake. That's why we're so excited to welcome Cal Exotics to the podcast and to the show. They're one of the very first founders of the American toy industry, and they still run, it's still run by the woman who started it. She's awesome. So they definitely know how to get your needs met.
And they're a cool company. Like when we went to Sex Toy Expo and they were there, they had a tiki bar set up and they're just very inviting, and they were...
Jamie loved their free drinks.
I did, but it was like everyone was super nice there.
No, they're so cool. They're like a quality brand. They have luxurious toys. Okay, so their new Pave line.
Oh, so pretty.
You guys, they're gorgeous. Like, this is the kind of toy you legitimately, it's a great gift for your friends, for your partner. It's like they're bright turquoise, kind of like a Tiffany's box. Mm-hmm. And it's like what you've been wanting, but even better, honestly. Like, I got something from Tiffany's once, and the best part was opening the box.
Well, yeah, because then it's just a bracelet.
I mean, it was like some weird, it wasn't even, it was like a keychain. But the point is, just the thing about the box. But mm-hmm. These toys, you open the box and then they have little diamonds on them. Like they have little, not real diamonds, obviously, but that would be $1 million for the vibrator. But like they're just so cute. The Pave Marilyn, it's a dual motor rabbit massager adorned with crystals and offering 35 sensational vibration
settings. That's a lot.
35. I mean, don't ever tell me you're getting bored there in the bedroom. If you have 35 settings, what else do you need me to tell you to tell
people? I'm taking a week off, by the way, Emily.
Yeah, I know. I'm taking the week off. I don't care if you guys stay here and try toys while I'm out of town. But, okay, you guys, if you also want a more controlled way to play with your partner, the Pave Diana is the perfect travel size vibe to get it done. So, maybe I'll bring that one on my trip.
Oh, yeah, because you're leaving.
I'm leaving. You should see the toys I'm traveling with. And this is one of them. So if you always want to treat yourself to one of these incredible toys or get one as a gift, this is the thing. If you like, I've been wanting to get one with my partner, but she might be weird about it. These are beautiful and amazing and reasonably priced. Check out the full Pave line of toys by going to sexwithemily.com/Calex. That's sexwithemily.com/CALEX.
Talk to Jonathan, 41 in Pennsylvania, who says he's not sexually attracted to his wife anymore.
Okay. Hey, Jonathan. Tell me what's going on.
Married for 8.5 years, a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. When we got together, I can't say I was in the best place, but she's a great woman. In the sex life, like I said, it's been okay. Mm-hmm. But over the past 4 years, it's non-existent. I'm averaging sex maybe 4 times a year if I'm lucky.
Mm-hmm. Right. You have 2 young kids.
And, yeah, but despite conversations about it, it just, you know, she keeps promising and saying, and it's just not going anywhere. And I have become way too comfortable with masturbation, which is something I couldn't even do and didn't even do until in my late 20s. Okay. And I got married at 32, and at this point, I don't know, I'm not the type of guy, I mean, it's funny, and I'll be honest, because I'm having this conversation with you because the woman I was thinking about having an affair with, mm-hmm. Which I didn't, okay. She actually suggested that I call in tonight. She's listening.
Okay.
And,
she's right.
And it's just to the point now where I want to have sex. I'm a very sexual person. I used to be into swinging, and I went from like swinging and living in San Francisco swinging to now like married, kids, and like nothing.
Mm.
And I'm tired of masturbating.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just to the point now where the frustration's kicked in, and I'm not attracted to my wife anymore.
Right, right.
And I don't want to end my marriage, but I don't know what to do.
But don't have an affair before you end your marriage. I mean, listen, this is how I feel, Jonathan. You've got 2 young kids, and it sounds like it's just gone on too long, and maybe you've talked to her and said, like, oh, we should have sex more, and she's like, yeah, yeah, I'll work on it, but who knows, after 2 kids, her body, her hormones are all over the place, she's watching the kids, does she have help with the kids?
Well, I'm a very active parent, so we split duties a lot, you know, it's like I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm doing all the stuff in the house, I'm not, like, you know, she doesn't carry at all.
Right. Well, have you talked to her about why she thinks you guys aren't having sex when you've talked to her about it?
Yeah.
What does she say?
She's tired. A lot. She's always tired.
Right, right. No, I'm sure she is. It's exhausting, but I guess she does it. And how was the sex at the beginning?
So-so.
So-so, like you weren't satisfied?
Like I was satisfied, but I had way, way better, and that's a problem in itself, probably. Yeah.
So why'd you get
like
married?
I was into swinging. I was swinging pretty hard for a couple of years.
Yeah, and San Francisco's a good town to swing in. So listen, but Jonathan, so you just met her and you fell in love because you were ready to have kids? Did she, you know? Here's the thing: if it wasn't there in the beginning,
I was in a very bad relationship, and she was very calming. It was a total different thing.
Gotcha.
And just in hindsight, it was like nirvana. It was like peace. It was like, this is how it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
And then maybe at the time, I just kind of overlooked the lack of sex part.
That's what
and
we
did. And
now
do. It's like, well, shit, I missed that.
Right. So do you think if you went back one more, because here's my thing. I just don't think that cheating and affairs are a good idea. And I think the energy that you're spending right now with this woman, and it's exciting, and it's going to feel great. I promise you, it's going to be amazing. And then you'll maybe talk yourself into kind of just kind of coexisting with your wife. But kids can feel that. You should stay tuned for our next segment. We're going to get into this. Should you stay married for the kids? And so I often, you know, I try to coax people towards that in the sense of, if you think you can really make it work, have you done anything before you end the marriage? Like, have you guys gone to therapy yet? Have you said to her, if this doesn't, like, we need to work on our sex life, because if we're not having sex, we're like roommates. Like, I love you and I want to make it work. Do you really truly think in your heart you're past that point? Like, you're past, you can't get it back because it was never there. Or what do you think, Jonathan? Honestly.
I wouldn't say I'm close. I'm not there. I'm never going to give up. And because of my childhood, I'm not going to leave my children. I feel bad that I started down that path, and I kind of got into somebody, and I do feel kind of bad about that. We haven't gotten physical.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I'm not judging you. I understand all of that. No, we all do that when we're not satisfied and someone else's seems great. I get it. I've been there too. I'm just saying, like, what I think the best thing to do now is to, like, put on, like, to make this your full-time job, because then you'll know in 3 months. Like, if you're like, okay, babe, I love you. It hasn't been great. 4 times a year doesn't work. You know, you'll say this in a few, I don't know if you've listened to the show, but I'm all about, like, not having it in the bedroom, the conversation. Sex is okay in the bedroom. And talking about it, like, in a loving, like, what are we going to do together? Because sex is so important. It's our glue. I want you to feel sexy again. Let's go see a sex therapist. Let's go get some help. And then you go for 3 months and you go once a week and you work on it. And then, you know, 3 months from now, this woman that's having you call in, maybe you guys a little great set, you'll know that it's not going to work with your wife, but maybe it will. But I don't think you should stay together as is for the kids just because you had a messed up childhood too. You know what I'm saying? Or your parents did it. That's not a reason to stay together. Kids can feel everything. They're like sponges. They absorb all the negative energy. They absorb mommy and daddy aren't in love. So it's really about you deciding, can I stick it out? Can I see if we can I honestly be honest, you know, stick with her for 3 more months and really go at it like it's my job, because it is, and then I'll know more in 3 months. That's what I suggest. Finding a really good therapist. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, what do you think?
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to the point definitely now where we need a therapist or something. Like,
you
there
do.
Has to be some type of intervention.
No, Jonathan, you're at the point, I don't always say therapy for everyone, but, you know, at your point, I'm telling you, you're already at the point where you're like, I'm about to have an affair. It's never coming back. I'm not attracted to her. So you've 2 choices here. Either you get into therapy hardcore with her, commit, or you leave. But I don't think you can leave until you know you've done everything you can do to make it work. It's 3 more months
Very
of your life.
True. And one quick other question.
Sure.
One quick other question, if you don't mind.
Of course not.
Okay. I'm very desensitized because of the amount of masturbation. I was becoming a 3-time-a-day guy.
Okay, yeah. It's a lot. All right. Oh, you're becoming desensitized. You got to stop masturbating too, cold turkey. How's that? This is a good thing for you, Jonathan. I think you got to go and talk to your wife and be honest and be like, I don't want to have to masturbate. I want to be able to, because every time that you go to masturbate, what I'd love you to do, Jonathan, is to take a moment, and it's like an impulse control thing. Like, should we have this extra cookie or should we wait a minute and breathe and go walk around the block, like when you're trying not to eat? So porn's kind of the same thing, but what I'm going to ask you to do is say, this energy that's going me to switch on my computer and watch porn, can I take that and sex, think about my wife for a minute? Can I conjure up those feelings about my wife and sex and how I used to feel about her? Can I bring that energy back into my body? Try that. Because you know the sensitivity, like there's that's a lot, it is hard, but you got, that's what you got to do. Maybe even go in and talk to her. You start giving her a foot rub or a back rub. And, you know, because for women, we don't get turned on the same way men do. Men are like, you know, you guys are like frying pans. We are slow cookers. We need to get turned on, aroused. So it sounds like there's a lot of underlying issues here. We got to take a break, but I think that was some good help for you, Jonathan. I think you should kind of do some of those things and work on yourself and your marriage right now before jumping in bed with someone else.
Let's talk to Jen, 42, Pennsylvania. She says her husband has a Madonna whore complex, and she needs help on how to fix it.
Hi, Jen. How you doing? Thanks for calling.
Hi, Emily. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. So, Madonna whore, let me just explain it. Tell me if this is accurate with you, but some of you might not know. It's kind of like when they say, like, the guy wants a lady in the streets and a freak in the sheets. But once he gets with his wife, once he gets with you and, like, you're married, it's hard for him to be really sexual because he pictures you as, like, his wife and the mother of his children. So it's hard for him to be more sexual with you than he would like to be because he just sees you as a mother. Like, that's kind of what it is defined as. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct.
Cool. Okay. Just for our listeners out there. And all right, so what's going on with you? Tell me. Tell me the history.
Well, we've been married for 14 years together, 16 years. And he always had trouble ejaculating and completing inside of me. And he told me that was happened in previous experiences.
Okay.
It wasn't bad, for the first couple of years after we got married. Mm-hmm. But then we started to try to have children. We had some difficulty with that. I had to go through, intrauterine insemination, and I ended up having a miscarriage.
Mm.
And after that, it was, you know, it's basically a chore for him, and it's, you know, a few times a year.
Okay. Well, this isn't about Madonna whore, then. Madonna whore is more like, I don't want to have sex. I want to do all these things, but now you're my wife. I can't have sex with you and revere you sexually. I can't see you as a sexual object. So this sounds to me like he's got some delay. He's got some challenges around. He has delayed ejaculation, essentially, which is a condition that, like, I think, it's less common than premature ejaculation. Maybe it impacts like 3% of men, and they're not really sure what it is. It's kind of tricky, but it just means that it takes them 30 minutes or longer to ejaculate. Typically, they can't. Like, even it's a little quicker during masturbation, but not always. And so it sounds like he's turning this on you, and he's always been this way.
Yes,
and he's making you feel bad about it, that, like, oh, it's because you're my wife or whatever the hell, but that's not true. He's got delayed ejaculation that's untreated and not understood. So
but
that's...
He's gone to some sex therapist, not for, you know, extended therapy, but somewhere along the line, someone told him that it was the Madonna whore complex. So...
There's
he blames it on me.
But that's okay. So he linked on to a piece of information to serve him that isn't true. And he probably didn't tell the therapist that he never ejaculated with other women. So maybe they were trying to get to it. People go to therapists. This is just on a side note. People go to therapists and lie all the time, and it pisses me off. It's like, why don't you just say that $200 and just flush it down the drain? You're paying someone for help, and then you're not telling the truth. So, Jen, no, none of the sex therapists I know would say that if he said he hadn't ejaculated ever. He feels insecurity around it. He's never really copped to the fact that it's a challenge. And so that's what it is, Jen. That's why he's not having sex with you, because it is a chore for him, because he can't ejaculate. He doesn't know why. It could have started because, do you know if he masturbates?
He does.
A lot? More than?
I think more so years ago.
Okay.
But not as much recently.
Yeah,
but I think I don't know. He's 6 years older than I am. So mm-hmm. he grew up like at the height of the AIDS epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that may be wrapped up in it also, a fear of contracting AIDS, even though he always had protected sex.
I mean, maybe, sure, that could be it too. Maybe he was so afraid of getting someone pregnant that he trained his body never to ejaculate. All that's true. That was in the 90s, though. That was 25 years ago, maybe, that happened, right? So, that yeah. was, I'm just thinking, I remember that too. That was a big thing. Like, yeah, but still, now, as a 48-year-old man, then he needs kind of to disassociate his sexual activity with the fear of getting pregnant with someone he's married to. You know what I'm saying? So you're just doing all this on your own. And would he ever have real conversations with you, Brooke? Because now you're just speculating. But I don't like him blaming you. How was everything else in the marriage?
I think it's okay. It's not great.
Well, you're not getting your needs met.
Right. And that makes the problems, you know, the everyday problems worse.
Yeah, of course. See, this is what, who were we talking to earlier? Catherine from Canada, who was saying, why is sex important? It's like, because when it's not a problem, it's not a problem. But when it is a problem in the relationship, it's like, becomes like 75 to 80% of your problems. Because if you're not having sex, it's the umbrella to everything else, but we don't look at it. So yeah, Jen, it sounds like if you guys want to stay together, make this work, it's going to take, I would go see a sex therapist together. Don't even mess around with another kind, because this is something like, this is a real thing. So approach him with love and let's do it together. And if we're committed to being together, let's work on our sex life.
Let's talk to Ryan, 40, in Canada. He says he has a fetish with women wearing thongs.
Ooh. Hey, Ryan. Thanks for calling.
Or wearing women's thongs, sorry.
Oh, wearing women's thongs.
Sorry.
Hang on. Sonia, he's a douchebag. Leave him alone.
Right? He is a douchebag. Right. Thank Absolutely. You, Ryan. You're 40. Yeah, you get it. You knew that. Ryan, you knew this at 36. You're 40. You wouldn't have been that guy.
Yeah. But, okay, so I have a serious question for you.
Okay.
20 years old to 20 years old to 30 years old, I was in a very open relationship, swinging lifestyle, right?
Mm-hmm.
That ended. I met this amazing woman. We're not swinging. She never had swung. Pretty much do the kinkiest, wildest, best sex I've ever had in my life.
Okay.
The reason I'm calling, though, so I masturbate a lot. Mm-hmm. I do 10,000 miles a month. I get home for 4 days. It's a great 4 days. A lot of times she'll come on road with me. But for some reason, I like to wear women's thongs.
Okay. You like to wear them.
I masturbate.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I like them.
Okay. Super, that's common.
I don't like guys. I don't like guys. Like, I've been in swinging relationships where we've had double penetration, you know, close quarters. Doesn't attract me.
Right.
Told my wife found that she walked in on me with a pair of her thongs. I didn't know she was there.
Okay.
She wasn't mad. She wasn't. Right, she's curious why. Doesn't turn her on. But we've had some really kinky sex.
Okay.
So now I'm kind of questioning myself. Why do I like to wear it?
You know, here's the thing. It's super, because why do you like it? Do you remember the first time? I mean, this is common too, Ryan. So this isn't like such a freaky, like I hear this often and I think 888-947-8277. I know we're going to get some more calls on this. So just know that it's like, what you tell me, like, when was the first time you find that hot? You found that sexy, you know? You thought, oh, wearing my wife's underwear would be hot, you know?
Well, I would have been about, maybe just before I met my ex in the swinging life. One of the girls I had dated for a while, she liked me to wear her thongs while she screwed me. Like, I've always been outside of the box. Like, sex has been...
Right, okay.
What it's been.
Yeah, so that's what it was. She liked it. That was like a very pivotal time in your life. Maybe it was the hottest sex you had, and you were like, oh, I'm going to... So you got, in your brain, that became like connected to pleasure, and so you like to wear it. So I would say, your wife isn't into it. I think that's fine. Get your own pairs. Order them on Amazon. Something.
I went and bought them at
Tommy John. Go to TommyJohn.com. Forget Amazon.
I don't have a Tommy John. Oh, TommyJohn.com.
Yeah, okay. Their underwear is actually, can I be honest, it really is like the most comfortable. Like it's their thongs. Anyway, you can wear them on, you never have to take them off. Anyway, the point is get your own. Don't stress hers out. And like, now here's my thing though. If you want to, so why do you like it? Because you know exactly, you know, you linked it up to that. Now, are you okay not wearing them in front of your wife? Is it your wife, you said, right?
Yeah.
Are you comfortable not? Or would you like her to kind of come around to it somehow? Because she just doesn't get it. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that other men have showed her. So she's like, huh? Or are you okay if it just becomes your masturbation thing and you just do other things with her?
But then I'm hiding it from her, right?
Right. Well, right. Okay. So you're saying she caught you one. Yeah. So I think it's a matter of like, you got, how long have you guys been together?
I'm married for 6 together for almost 9.
Okay. So I think it's more like you just tell her that it's something that turns you. I think it's starting with first here. What are the kind of things that turn her on? Like you said, you guys do some kinky stuff, right?
Oh. Like, okay. So we have everything from water sports to stretcher as wide as you can. Three, you know, 2 big dildos and myself in there.
Okay.
We do a lot of camping, totally naked. Sex everywhere. It's just,
I got it. So this one thing she might think it means that, yeah, okay, good. So she'll be down with it. She just was like thrown off, like she had never seen it and it was confusing to her. But if you're just like, yeah, this is this thing I've been doing, it was really hot when I was in this scene before, and that's, you know, I want to see, what does she want to dress up as, or like what would be, I think you just kind of explain to her that it gives you pleasure and why, like she knows, you know, you're not, doesn't mean that you're into men. Just explain something that you find hot and it's your turn on, and then you got to find out what turns her on. Like, what, maybe there's something she's like holding. We all have things we don't really want to say, even though you guys have done everything. Maybe let her lead this. Sounds like you've been bringing the kinky lifestyle. You kind of brought her into that world.
I would say that.
Okay, so here's what you do, Ryan. Next time you make it about her, say, you know what, I thought, like, don't even make it about the underwear yet. And maybe you could have this in the same conversation, but say, I know I've brought a lot, but when I'm on the road this time, when I'm gone, I need you as a homework assignment to, you know, read some erotica, buy something sexy, read porn, like, you know, watch porn, find something that's hot, and then I want you to share with me your hottest fantasy in a video when we FaceTime. Text it to me. And then she's going to get excited when you're gone because you're going to give her permission to find what turns her on, right? So she's got something exciting. And then you bring in the underwear. I mean, you could even do this in the same conversation, but what I'm saying is she doesn't get it. She thinks, oh, maybe he wants to be with men or it's gay. But I understand it. You've just fetishized it, which I don't love that word. Because I think it's kind of fun. Like, we wear laundry, you wear your own thing during sex. So I just think it's a matter of bringing her around to it and reframing it. And tell her the truth, why it happened in your 20s. You know, this is your wife. So I think she's going to get it then. It's that she didn't understand it. So just some great, hot, steamy conversations. Next time you see her, it'll be great. And then you'll be wearing women's underwear, buy your own pair, and it's all good. Thanks, Ryan. Keep me posted.
Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. That's what I'm here for. All right, guys, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Michelle, producer, Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. I am so excited to let you know you can now hear Sex with Emily live 5 days a week on Sirius XM Radio. You'll find me in Stars, channel 109, Monday through Friday at 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. But don't worry, the podcast is staying right here. My brand new radio show will have everything you love about Sex with Emily and more, because every day I'll be interviewing guests, sharing the latest news, and my favorite part, taking your calls live on the air 2 hours every weekday. If you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you already know how great it is. If you never tried it, get a free trial for 30 days. Just go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. That's sexwithemily.com/SXM today to try SiriusXM for yourself. See you there.